That's always the first thing we got to get taken care of. I can't take off without knowing that everything's taken care of. But it's good to be here. It's good to be back with you all. In fact, the first time we were here, it would have been towards the end of 2014. And your church has been faithfully supporting our church's ministry since that time. And see familiar faces here. It's good to see everyone. And this would be, I believe, the third time we've been able to be at your church. If I'm not mistaken, we were able to be here 2014 was the first time. Second time would have been 2017 when we were in between Russia and Ukraine. Because if you remember, we originally were not missionaries to Ukraine. We were missionaries to Russia. And we started off there. We were there for a couple of years. The long story that I told you last time I was here was we were kicked out of the country, arrested, deported, and blacklisted from Russia. And obviously, it was a really tough time in between Russia and Ukraine. We had no idea what was going on, but Lord used some things in our lives to help us to remember that we need to be strong in the Lord. And Romans 8:28 tells us that all things work together for good. And to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. And we just started trusting the Lord. We don't know what Your will is for our lives. We don't know why You allowed this horrible or evil thing into our lives. But we'll just trust You that You know better. And after that, it seemed like the floodgates of God's peace just came into our lives. And we praise the Lord for that time. The time went from a very bitter time to a very sweet time, trusting in God and His promises. And we started praying, our church started praying about what we were to do next. Because when we were in Russia, we learned the language and the culture, and we had a burden for Slavic peoples. And Lord laid on our heart Ukraine. And our story is we started deputation in May of 2013. We went to Russia in April of 2015. We had to leave Russia in March of 2017, and we went to Ukraine in April of 2018, and we were there until the middle of February. And what happened was our church called us home. We actually had a church, faithful supporting church of ours, in a Air Force community. They had some people that were privy to some information about the coming Russian attack, and they called my pastor, and our church called us home. And praise the Lord, we were able to get the family out before the attack, and we've been home ever since. What we've decided to do in this meantime is we started a 6-month furlough, and so we are visiting churches until the end of August, and then we'll see what happens after then. We've been telling everyone we're going back in September, but as I'm going to show you, things have not been very good in Ukraine over the last month. And my pastor will probably send me over there at least one time before we send the family over there, before we move back and we finish in August. So we'll be looking and praying about our return date after that. Please be in prayer with us for that. We obviously want God's will in everything. Let me introduce you to my family. My wife had to step out because of the baby, and I think she's with the youngest two. But my wife, you see pictured here, her name is Brittany. We've been married 13 years at the end of this month, and God has blessed us with 5 wonderful children. We have Haley, who will be 12 this week, Luca, who is 9, Benaiah, who's 7, Titus and Caleb, they're the ones that are not here. They're 4 years old and 9 months old, something like that, somewhere around there. But anyways, he was actually born in Ukraine not too long ago. So anyways, let me explain to you a couple of things. Would it be better to turn off a couple of lights? Is it possible to turn off a couple of lights over here? I wanted to show you some things. It's a good thing we got a pointer. Obviously, this is the map of Ukraine. I'm going to show you basically a PowerPoint presentation. I'm nostalgic. I like when missionaries come by and show slide presentations and things like that. So it'll be kind of a modified slide presentation. But I want to show you this map of Ukraine. In 2018, Russia, or 2014, Russia took this chunk of Ukraine from them, the island of Crimea, and then right after that, they tried to take Lugansk and Donetsk, which you probably know as the Donbas region. That happened immediately after Crimea was taken, and Ukraine by that time realized that they were going to have to fight if they wanted to keep these territories. And so that started the conflict or the war between Russia and Ukraine, and that has been going on since 2014. But the war has been secluded only to this area right here. Now, what happened in December is Russia started lining up their troops all along the Belarusian border right here and all along the Russian-Ukrainian border right here. And on February the 24th, they announced an all-out assault. They started attacking. I remember it was a crazy night. We were just getting messages after message after message. This airport's been blown up. This airport's been blown up. No airports in Ukraine are working now. They've all been destroyed. That happened the first night. And then they started bringing the soldiers onto the territory of Ukraine. We actually work in the Kyiv area, as I'm going to show you here in a minute. And they immediately started occupying this area northwest of Kyiv, which is where we have a village ministry. And so the people that I'm going to show you here in a moment, these are people that we didn't have contact with for almost 2 months because they were in a Russian-occupied area. The Chechen fighters were the ones that occupied that area. They're known for their special brutality. And we praise the Lord that even though our people saw a lot of very horrible things happen and death and things like that, none of our people had passed away because of the result of the Russian soldiers. We praise the Lord for that. They also took this northeastern section above Kyiv. They tried to take Kyiv. They couldn't do it. And so they evacuated all of their forces, and they brought them right here. And this is where a lot of fighting is going on right now. In fact, as of last night, Russia is now announcing that they have completely, in their words, freed Lugansk and Donetsk from the Ukrainian forces. And they're continuing on. In fact, as you see this map right here, they've occupied all this area right here. In fact, this map is a little old because they've taken this chunk since the last time. This is Kramatorsk. They actually moved over to Lysychansk, and actually right here is where the new line is. They've actually been able to take a pretty large chunk over the last month, and they're gaining every once in a while I'll get a Russian word stuck in my head. Smielist is what I want to say. Their boldness, and they're continuing forward. So I want to show you, this is the northern chunk of Ukraine. This is Kyiv, the capital city. We actually work in two different places simultaneously. We have a village ministry where we work in several different villages. And if you notice, if you got really good vision, what does that say right there? It says Chernobyl. In fact, one of the things I was really nervous about moving my family to Kyiv because of its proximity to Chernobyl. It's about 2.5 hour drive from Chernobyl. I didn't want my kids growing like a third eye or a tail or anything like that. But what's interesting is God moved us even closer, and the village ministry that the brothers that we're working with over there, we're literally a 30-minute drive away from Chernobyl. So God has a sense of humor. So when we moved to Ukraine, we didn't know anybody. Our goal was just to print out a bunch of gospel tracts and try to distribute them, try to find people who are willing to sit down with us and do Bible studies with us. And this was the first guy. His name is Vasya. In fact, he told me every time you show my ugly mug to these churches, he says, let them know that we are very thankful for your prayers. He said, we feel like that was the only thing that held the Russians back during the very difficult time that ended about 2 months ago. And he said, tell them all thank you. But when he got saved, when he made a profession of faith, he said, I'm from the village. He's from this. Well, what's going on here? I'm not clicking. Oh, yeah, you said it doesn't go back. Can we go back a couple slides? I apologize. So he's actually from the village. He's from this area that's northwest of, it doesn't matter if we can't go back. It's no problem. But so we started going to the village, ministering to his friends, family, people he grew up with, started doing Bible studies with them. And praise the Lord, within a few months, we had 10 people who had professed faith in Christ, who were meeting once a week for basically services together. And we started organizing them into a mission work after that time. And we praise the Lord for what he's done in that. I want to show you a couple pictures of Ukrainian village life. You're stepping back into another time period where there's no running water inside, there's no bathrooms and stuff like that. I'm sure Brother Kuzel knows something about that. But anyways, God gave us a chunk of land for like $800, I think is what they paid for it. There's a chunk of land and a hut that we knocked down the wall in the middle, and a two-room hut, knocked down the wall in the middle, and we meet in that. Here's a picture of one of our outdoor services. Here's a picture of one of our indoor services. The good thing about having a slideshow is you can make this last as long as you want or as short as you want. Like this morning, I had all of Sunday school. We did like 55 minutes. Here, we obviously don't have as much time. I wanted you to notice as you look at the pictures of some of these people, some of them are darker skinned. And what that is we actually have three gypsy families that are saved, baptized members of the mission work. And we praise the Lord for that. And these are people like, you know, if you ever read John chapter 4, there's the Jews and the Samaritans. They don't talk to each other. They don't have anything to do with each other. Well, it's the same thing with the Ukrainians and the gypsies. They just don't get along. They hate each other. The Ukrainians don't consider them people, a lot of them, and just don't want to give them the time of day. You know, they're scum, that kind of thing. But it's neat to see what God does when he saves people, brings them into, you know, we're all in Christ now, brings them into one mission work. Now the Ukrainians are serving the gypsies and the gypsies are serving the Ukrainians. It's just neat to see how what God has done in that. We have a lot of fellowship meals. In fact, every single service right afterwards, the women get together. We have a wonderful time of fellowship after that. Since we like meeting outside when it's nice, during the months of the year where it's nice outside, we were able to build this awning, and during the summer months, we meet outside in the awning. It's such a beautiful time, very refreshing, getting to serve God out in the public. We blast the services on a speaker so that the village can hear it, and people come by, and they'll stop, and they'll listen to the preaching or singing or something like that. I wanted to give you a short video clip of one of the brothers singing a song in one of the services. Hopefully it'll work. Brother that's singing, his name is Igor, and he actually was saved as a result of a prison ministry, and now he uses his talents. Used to use them to, you know, praise, you know, sin and the devil. Now he uses them to praise the Lord. He's a wonderful preacher, wonderful evangelist. The man who's holding the songbook for him, that's Dima. He's become my best friend in Ukraine. His wife is my wife's best friend. We really love that family. And he went from being a I don't know what I believe in type person to he drives with me to the village every week. And so like Tuesdays and Thursdays are village ministry times. Tuesdays are evangelism and Bible studies. Saturdays are church services. So we're like Seventh-day Adventists in the village. In the city, we have Wednesday and Sunday services. So we're just like normal Baptists in the city. And so we have that 3-hour drive there and back. So like 6 hours of Bible study, discipleship time on the road. And he's been driving with me for over 2 years now. And he went from a I don't know what I believe in guy to a very strong, sound Baptist who is a wonderful defender of the faith. And I really appreciate him. This is a wedding we had, I guess it was about 11 months ago now. You'll notice that people are darker skinned. These are gypsies. And so these are the young lady got saved, baptized about a little over 3 years ago. The young man about a year and a half ago. God brought them together. We praise the Lord for that. She teaches in Sunday school, and he will be preaching the gospel here really soon. It's just so neat to see what God has done in their life. The reason why it's so neat is this is the first gypsy family that they know of that has gotten married, and they're serving God now, and it's just really neat to see what God has done in their lives. Here's a few more kind of random pictures. I'll just click through them faster. We started reaching out to the, this is not my initiative, this was the men, they wanted to reach out to the babushkas, or the widows, the grandmothers that are in the village that hardly have anything. They get like $30 a month from the government, and we'll take them some groceries, we'll sing some songs, share the gospel with them. And what was neat is we as Baptists are like crazy cultish, scary people to them, and so anything we can do to like tear down barriers, those type of stereotypes, we try to do. And instead of people like running across the street in front of us, get away from us, they'll invite us into their house and want to fellowship with us. And so Lord has really used that to break down a lot of barriers, and we appreciate that. This was a neat service we had. We had so many people inside this towards the end of last year standing up, that we had people outside, and that was neat. This is an outreach that we did to the whole village, invited the whole village, and I think there was over 200 people that showed up. And right after I took this short video, I got up on that stage and I was able to preach the gospel to all those people, and we praise the Lord for opportunities like that. This is the last baptism that we have. I just love baptismal pictures, people coming out of the water excited about what God's doing in their lives. In fact, two of these people are some of our gypsy members of the mission work. This is Brother Vitya preaching. This is the city. We're now moved to the city work, and we praise the Lord for the men that we have to work with here. There's Brother Max preaching, and we'll have 25 to 30 people every single week in the village and city ministries. Brother Vova, we praise the Lord for that. Here's a short video. I wanted to take like a panorama shot because we got a lot of back row Baptists, so it's hard to get them in the shot. This is Sister Lyubov, which means, her name means love. She's a wonderful encouragement reading she's not preaching there. She's reading a poem. This is a VBS that we had. Here's a kids choir. My wife sent me this video. It was the last week we were in Ukraine. She took a picture of her doing a kids club during the preaching. And what's neat is the song that they're singing is a scripture song. It says, if God's for me, who can be against me? I'm going to trust in the Lord. It's better to trust in the Lord than it is to men, than trust in men. And that was the last week we were in Ukraine. And here's Brother Vitya. Again, I wanted to mention him especially because his wife was a militant atheist, and she hated God. She hated the fact that he was a Christian, that he went to church and things like that. And they both got COVID, and they ended up in separate hospitals. And she realized that she was on death's door and started calling him and asking him questions about the afterlife, meeting God, salvation, things like that. And he was able to start working with his wife and was able to lead her to the Lord before she passed away. And his testimony is, I'm so excited to know that she'll be in heaven with me. It's much greater than what would have been the opposite. God worked in that. God also worked through COVID in this lady's life. Obviously, she's not a young lady. She's in her mid-70s. She's holding little Caleb right there. She found out she had cancer, terminal cancer, whenever she was sick in the hospital with COVID. And her neighbor, they go to our mission work in the city, and she invited her to come with her. She started coming with her. My wife and I started doing Bible studies with her, and some of the ladies in the church were able to lead her to the Lord just about a week before we had to leave, and so we praise the Lord for that. Here's a village ministry that we've been able to help out in. This brother here on the left, it's his ministry, but he invited me to help out, and he goes basically four times a year, goes to the front lines of the Russia-Ukrainian war, and we'll gather soldiers and sing some songs, preach the gospel to them, and we praise the Lord for that opportunity. In fact, here for about a month, you were probably hearing about the city of Mariupol that ended up falling to Russia. This is the Marine Battalion is what they call it, and these were some of the men that were held up in that steel plant for the longest time, who are now in a Russian prison camp, the ones that survived. But we praise the Lord for the opportunity to preach the gospel to these people, and some kind of candid shots from that. So these last pictures I'm going to show you are all pictures that have been taken since we've left Ukraine, and We actually, there was a, I guess a, you could say, a humanitarian crisis in Kyiv because for 2 months the Russian soldiers had surrounded Kyiv and they weren't allowing groceries, you know, food shelves to be stocked in the grocery stores, and people were out of money. Most Ukrainians live paycheck to paycheck, and you know, when the war started, they didn't get any severance pay. They immediately lost their jobs, and the people that had the ability to leave, they left. The people that stayed were the people that were bad off, I guess you could say. And there was a lot of people that were going hungry. And so we started praying, you know, what could we do to help out in this situation and use it as a vehicle to get the gospel to new people. And so we started praying about this. Churches started sending our church funds to help out in that. And we were able to, for 9 weeks in a row, open up the mission work on Saturdays, for 9 Saturdays in a row, and invite people to come in. Basically, we would make bags of food, and then in each bag there would be a New Testament and gospel literature, and people would invite them to church from that. And I'm clicking and nothing's happening. Could you click for me, brother? Okay. Anyways, so we actually had about half of our people from the village ministry and from the city ministry that have had to evacuate and go to safer places. They have a lot of younger children and stuff like that. We actually have people in England right now. We have a couple families in Germany. We've got them in Poland and Romania and, So anyways, they're thinking about coming back soon. They were thinking about coming back, but a lot of bad things have happened over the last couple of weeks, and so a lot of people are thinking about staying a little bit longer. So these are the people that were able to stay. Maybe, yeah, there we go. Now we're clicking again. Okay, so we were able to open up the church building. These are people that were outside. Literally, 1,000 people, almost 1,000 people every single week would show up. Here's a short video of people coming in, getting the help they needed, leaving with gospel literature. And this brother right here, Dima, this is Dima Gribinyuk, and this is Dima Stachurski, right? We got two Dimas. We actually got a ton of Dimas that we know. But anyways, we praise the Lord for their leadership, being able to do all this, organize this, continue on with the work in our absence. Brother Dima Stachurski, the one in the middle, he actually has a Bible bookstore that he runs, and he got all of his New Testaments and Bibles and books that are evangelistic, and he brought them, and we started handing them out to people. And people would come 1 week, they'd grab a few books, and then they'd come back the next week, they'd give the books back and say, okay, we want to read these now. And so it was just neat to see kind of the hunger that was in a lot of people for hearing the gospel during that time. The brothers, they noticed that there was a huge amount of people outside of the building for a long time. They'd start lining up 3 to 4 hours before we'd even open the doors. And so they'd get together. This brother here, he would, it's accordion, yeah. He would play the accordion, and they'd sing a few songs, and then one of them would preach for a little bit, and then they'd sing a few more songs, and another one would preach for a little bit. We praise the Lord for that time, ability to reach out. And these pictures have been taken in our absence, and it's just neat to see the mission work continue on. In fact, here's a short video. Praise the Lord for that. It's neat to see people are continuing. In fact, a lot of these people that you're seeing are totally new people that just started coming in our absence, and we've got a ton of new Bible studies that have started up because as a result of this, and we praise the Lord for that. This brother Vova right here, he shut down his confectionery shop. He makes cookies and candies and cakes and stuff like that. And 3 days a week, we'll have people come volunteer. They make bread. Then they'll go to different parts in the city that are around where our meeting place is. They'll gather people around, they'll preach the gospel to them, and then hand out that bread, right? Preach about the bread of life, and then give them the bread that perishes, and invite them to church and stuff like that. So we've seen a lot of good things happen since then. And then we were really excited to see this. I mentioned that the village ministry was under Russian occupation for almost 2 months. And then this picture was sent to us about 2 months ago. And even though there was a lot of stuff burnt down and blown up and stuff like that in our area, The place where we meet in the village is still intact. Praise the Lord for that. And then the men are meeting again. They started meeting 2 months ago, and then they sent us this picture last week. And so it's just neat to see how the works have continued on. I believe that's the last picture. Yeah, the works have continued on in our absence, and the men have been able to keep everything going, and praise the Lord for that. Obviously, the goal of any missionary mission work is to, yes, preach the gospel, yes, evangelize, but to train up men, because we don't want the mission work to be dependent upon American man who's doing all the preaching and ministering, or American money and stuff like that. We're trying to make it indigenous, self-propagating, and we praise the Lord for the fact that even though we've been gone 4.5 months, they've continued to be faithful to the Lord and grow in a lot of ways. The men are definitely growing in their leadership, and we praise the Lord for that. And it's neat. We, through like Facebook Live, we can join their services from here. And it's just neat to see how God has worked and what God is continuing to do. And we're excited to get back whenever that is. Please pray with us for God's wisdom in that matter. We really appreciate that. Turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 96. Psalm 96, this is known as the missionary hymn of the Old Testament, Psalm chapter 96. There's so much good that is in this text, and if you find it, I want to go ahead and read it, and then we'll try to walk through it. I'm very aware of the time. I've got a clock looking at me right in the face, right? So I've been given a time limit, and so I'm aware of the time, and so we'll see how far we get going through this passage. But at the very beginning, let's honor the Word of God. Psalm chapter 96, we'll start in verse number 1. We'll go down to verse number 13. We'll read the whole Psalm. Listen to the words of the Lord. O, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. O, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with His truth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for this honor and privilege to be in this wonderful, faithful church. Lord, I pray that You would bless this church tonight through the preaching of Your Word as it goes forth. Lord, I do not know the state of hearts here this evening, Lord, but You do, and I pray that You, as Your Word goes forth, Your Spirit would bring about the change, bring about the work that You have in store for us this evening. Lord, be honored and glorified in everything we say and do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now let me ask you a question. If I were to ask you a question, what is your purpose in life? What is the answer to that question? Why did God create you? Why did God create man, right? What is our single purpose in life? What is as Baptists hundreds of years ago used to say, what is the chief end of man, right? How would you answer that question? The Bible teaches us that we were created for one purpose, one main purpose, right? We have many, I guess you could say, ulterior purposes, but one main purpose, the main purpose of your life and my life, the sole reason why God created us, the chief reason, is to glorify God. We were created to bring honor and glory to the one who created us. In fact, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, it says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." You and I, we were created to glorify God. And we are commanded here to do everything to God's glory. So think about this. Every day, everything that we do in our lives, we are to bring glory to God. Think about this maybe practically. If you're a husband, right? How can you bring glory to God? Well, you bring glory to God by loving your wife as Christ loved the church. You bring glory to God by taking care of your family, by putting bread on the table, as many people say. You can work, you can go to work to the glory of God, and you can work to the glory of God. Work in a way that your coworkers see this is a man who loves God. This is a man who is different than I am. He's not involved in some of the trash that we're involved in. He loves God. He loves his family. He loves his wife. And when we do that, he's a hard worker. When we do that, we bring honor and glory to God. When we come home, we love our kids. We raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We give them loving, godly discipline. We bring honor and glory to God, and we can go on and on. Housewives, right? How can you bring glory to God? You bring glory to God by respecting your husband. You bring glory to God by loving your children, bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, teaching them the truths of God's word, taking care of the physical needs of your family. You bring honor and glory to God. You don't have to be a missionary or a preacher or on stage on the platform singing or playing an instrument to bring glory to God. God has put each and every one of us in a position in our life, and our job with a certain set of talents and abilities, and our job is to take what we have, the position that God has given us, and do whatever we can to bring honor and glory to God. Children, you bring honor and glory to God by loving and respecting your parents, by honoring your parents. You bring honor and glory to God by being faithful children. You bring honor and glory to God by doing well in school, right? These are all ways that we can bring honor and glory to God. Revelation 4:11, these are the saints, the 24 elders that fall before God in heaven, and they say to God, they say, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." Raise your hand here if you were not created. Okay, we are all created. And the Bible tells us here that we were created by our Creator to do what? Or for what cause? For His pleasure. And it says we are created to bring honor and glory and power unto the Lord, right? That's our job, right? It's like a horse, right? Horses, they are one of the things that I've learned here recently. My kids, I noticed they were being very European, I guess you could say. They were starting to be very European, and there's nothing wrong with that, but I wanted to give them a little dose of American culture. I started doing this about a year or so ago, so every once in a while I'd sit the boys in front of an old Western movie, right, and let them watch old cowboy movies and stuff like that. And so anyways, one of the things we noticed, there's a lot of horses in those movies, and horses are actually prey animals, and they have eyes on the side of their head, and so they're very skittish. They can frighten. They can run. They're constantly looking out for danger. But when you are using a horse for work or for sport, if you're racing a horse or something like that, put blinders on the horse. Why? Because you want him focused and not distracted. I think sometimes we as Christians, there are so many distractions out there in the world. So many things, maybe good things, right? Maybe honorable things that we can be involved in that are not part of honoring and glorifying God. And I think one of the things that we need to do is we need to remember why God created us. God created us to glorify Him. Let's get focused back on that. And this text shows us 10 ways we can glorify God. And I said, I'm aware of the time. We'll see how far we can get. But Psalm chapter 96, look with me at verse number 1. It says, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth." What's the first way this text gives us how we can glorify God? We glorify God by singing a new song. You know what that means? That means throw away these hymn books. They're full of old songs. The Bible says we need to sing new songs. Where's your praise team with the, you know, the hip songs? That's what the Bible says. That's how some people take this verse. What is a new song according to the Bible? Well, it's a good thing there's a lot of other texts that teach us what a new song is. Psalm chapter 40 is one that pops out in my head. Psalm chapter 40, verses 1 through 3 says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And then it says, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. What is that new song? A new song is a song of salvation. It's a song that glorifies God for what he has done when he saved wretched sinners like you and me, right? He heard our cry. We were located in the horrible pit. Our feet were stuck in the miry clay, and he plucked us up out of that pit, and he set our feet upon a rock, and he established our goings, and he put a new song in our mouth, right? Now we're singing praise to God. We're seeking to glorify God by song, and we are glorifying him for his salvation. Psalm 96:1 says, sing unto the Lord a new song. Revelation 7:9 says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. It's interesting, this verse says that God wants people all over the world singing this song. Right? All over. It says of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. Right? That's the missions part of this, right? We need to go into all the world so that people all over the world will know God, will know God's salvation, and sing with us that new song that is praising and glorifying God for his salvation. Psalm 98:1 says, O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. Thank the Lord that he is victorious, and he makes all of us victorious as well. The Bible says, Isaiah 42:10, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth, ye that go down to the sea and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. Revelation 5:9 says, and they sung a new song. What is here? We see the text of a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. We see from these texts that this new song is a song for all, for redeemed people of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. It is a song that glorifies God for his mighty works, the chief of those works being the salvation of rebel sinners, taking us, translating us from the kingdom of darkness unto the kingdom of his dear Son. To him be glory and praise forevermore. It's sung, it can be sung in the congregation of the saints. I skipped this verse. Psalm 149:1 says, praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and praise in the congregation of saints. What is the congregation of saints? You're in one right now. Right? So God commands us to sing new songs in the congregation of saints. These are songs that praise God for his salvation, for his victory, for his mighty works. And this song can also be used as an evangelistic tool whenever it's, and it acquaints others with God's love and God's salvation. God's desire is that all the earth sings this new song. Look with me at verse number 2. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Second way we can glorify God is by blessing his name. God's name, I don't believe that, you know, we need a debate. Is it Jehovah or is it Yahweh or is it something else? I don't believe that God is very interested in things like that. I believe that, you know, for example, let me give you an example. Like we serve in Russia. We served in Russia. Now we serve in Ukraine. And people over there call me Daniil, not Daniel, right? Because they can't pronounce Daniel. The closest they can get to Daniel is Daniel. And to me, it doesn't sound right, right? And I would rather them use my name in their language, right? Daniel's transferable to most languages, right? It's a Bible name, right? So I would rather them call me Daniel. To me, it sounds much better rolling off their tongue. It sounds so unnatural and everything for them to say it that way. And I think God's the same way, right? God, who's the creator of our languages, you know, when it says bless God's name here, it's not talking about like letters on a piece of paper, right? And we need to make sure we say the right name, we say it with the right accent, all that stuff. What it means to bless God's name is his identity, right? So when I think of Brother Tom Smith, I don't think of like literally T-O-M-S-M-I-T-H on a piece of paper. I think of a person. I think of a faithful pastor for a long time, a wonderful preacher. I think of how down to earth he is and things like that. So I think about the identity of that person, right? And so when we bless God's name, what are we doing? We are exalting him and we are praising him for who he is and what he has done for us. Psalm 34, verses 1 through 6 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. And I love these next few verses. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. God is a wonderful Savior, is he not? Praise the Lord for what he has done. Whenever we praise God for who he is and what he has done, whenever we bless his name, we are glorifying him. We are doing what we have been created to do. Christian, seek opportunities to bless God's name, to exalt him in front of the heathen, right? In front of people who don't know God, right? Praise God that this happened. God is so good to me. He's blessed me with this wonderful family. Use any opportunity that we have to exalt God's name, to bless his name. Psalm 103, 5, 1 through 5 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed light like eagles. So we should be glorifying God, blessing his name. Glory and praise should be proportionate to its object, right? So, like, let's say we had a potluck fellowship, and one of the sisters made a wonderful chicken pot pie. I don't know, all right? And I really loved that chicken pot pie, and it tasted really good. And be suitable for me to go up to her and say, oh, sister, thank you so much. That was very good. It really blessed my soul. Thank you, right? But it would not be suitable if I said, that was the greatest thing ever, and I fell down on my face before her, and I said, this is so amazing. I cannot believe it. And I ran out on the streets, and I said, come in and check out this chicken pot pie. It's the most amazing chicken pot pie ever. It'll change your life, right? That's not proportionate to its object. But let me tell you this. You cannot outpraise God. You cannot outglory God. God is worthy of all of our praise. Amen? Verse number 2 says, sing unto the Lord, bless his name. The third thing is to show forth his salvation from day to day. Charles Spurgeon wrote, it is ever new, ever suitable, ever sure, ever perfect. Therefore, let us show it forth continually until he come, both by words and deeds, by songs and sermons, by baptism, by the Lord's Supper, by books and speech, by Sabbath services, by weekday worship. Each day brings us deeper, experience of our saving God. Each day shows us anew how deeply men need his salvation. Each day reveals the power of the gospel. Each day the Spirit strives with the sons of men. Therefore, never pausing, be it ours to tell out the glorious message of free grace. From day to day, our hearts should desire to proclaim the good news of God's salvation to all who will hear. Verse number 3, it says, declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. The saving work of a loving God and his humiliation for rebel sinners, that is something that glorifies him. His works and his salvation show us how amazing, how wonderful, and how awesome our God is. Our job is to declare God's glory to the heathen, to those that don't know God, to those who are not saved. God's will is not for Christians to separate themselves from this world, move away, start their own Christian civilizations, seclude themselves from this sinful world. God has called us to shine as lights in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation, in the midst of a dark and evil world. If the light is hid under a bushel, what is the purpose for the light? Right? It needs to be put on a candlestick. It needs to be put in a public place so that it lights all who are in the house. Verses 7 and 8, it says, give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name, bring an offering and come into his courts, right? Usually when we think of giving something to someone, that means that someone doesn't have something and we're giving them something that they don't have, right? It's like this brother here, he doesn't have a clicker, right? Poor brother. I mean, it's hard to live without a clicker. I've got one, right? I can give you. It's not mine. It's the church's, right? But I walk up, I give him a clicker. Now he has a clicker. It's something he didn't have, now something he does have. Now, what our verses mean when they say, give unto the Lord glory and strength, the glory due unto his name, this is not saying that God does not have glory and strength, and he needs glory and strength from us, so we need to give him glory and strength. What does that mean? It means ascribe unto the Lord. Give credit to the Lord that he alone is glorious, that he alone is strong. So when we give the Lord glory and strength, we're not giving it, we're ascribing it to him. We're letting ourselves know, letting our families know, letting the world know who is glorious and who is all powerful. And then it says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. How much glory is God due? So let us every day, ceasingly, glorify God because he is glorious. Verse 8 says, bring an offering, come into his courts. Another way we can glorify God is by coming into God's courts, attending church, right? Attending church with a right heart. And by bringing an offering, God doesn't want us to bring lambs, right, anymore and goats. God doesn't desire bloody offerings anymore since he did away with all of that, right? Since the once and for all offering was given on our behalf, right? So the offerings that we give, we just give back to God out of the abundance that he's already given us. Thank you, Lord. I know that everything that I have comes from you. Every good and every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights in whom there is no shadow of turning, right? So we know that God, everything good comes from God. We just give a little bit of that back to him. And whenever we do, we glorify him. Verse number 9. It says, "A worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." You know, as we were singing songs and I was looking at the scene behind the pulpit, I thought, what a beautiful testimony of God's creative hand. Looking at the beautiful North Dakota mountains. So beautiful. What part of North Dakota are these mountains in? I thought, it's just, there are no mountains around here, are there, right? So anyway, I think that's Austria. It's a beautiful, beautiful place, right? But what does that mean? The beauty that God desires is not external. It's great to have a beautiful house to worship God in, is it not, right? But the beauty that God desires is not us. I mean, we should give God our best, all of that. I'm all for that, right? But the beauty that God desires is the beauty of holiness, right? God does not desire beautiful cathedrals with bell towers and priests in their elegant garb and elegant ceremony. That is not the beauty that pleases God. God is not pleased in those places. The beauty that pleases God is the beauty of holiness. God's people around God's word who love God, who are sanctifying themselves, who are growing in their sanctification, seeking to be holy, seeking to be like God. That's what pleases God. That's what glorifies God. Verse number nine says, fear before him, all the earth. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fear is very important, and it deserves a whole separate sermon. But I believe that the fear here in this text is not talking about fear literally trembling and shaking out of I'm scared, right? Because this is the song of a believer, right? And so I believe the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. I believe that someone literally must fear God in order to be saved. I don't believe, if you weren't scared, I don't know, I have a really hard time believing that you were saved, because in order for you to be saved, you have to realize that you are a sinner that is an enemy of God, and God as a just judge should judge you for those sins in hell. I don't know what part of that is not scary, right? And us coming knowing that we are not deserving of God's love or grace or mercy, and we throw ourselves down at his feet and we say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the fear of God brings us to Christ to throw ourselves at his feet and say, God, have mercy on me. God, save me, right? But the fear here, I believe, is like if you're standing in front of one of those beautiful mountains and you're standing at the foot of a mountain and you're just taken back at the sheer majesty, the size, and we're in awe standing before something so big. You know, you're going through maybe New York City or a place with a lot of big towers, and you feel so small, and you look up and you're like, when does this ever end, right? This awe that we have, this respect, this honor that we have. I believe this is the fear that's talked about here in this verse. Fear before him, all the earth. When we fear God, when we reverence him, we glorify him. And the last thing, in verse number 10, say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. You know what that means? That means we need to constantly repeat in front of our unsaved friends, relatives, coworkers, you name it, that God is king. Jesus is king, and one day Jesus is coming back very, very soon. In fact, that's how this psalm ends. This psalm ends talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Look with me, let's read down to the end of the chapter. It says, say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh. He is coming, and he's coming very soon. He shall judge the earth. For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. If Jesus comes back to judge the earth, will those people that we know, will they end up in heaven or hell? Think about that, right? And so that should cause us, should inspire us, should motivate us to tell them that God, the judge, is coming back very soon. God, who reigns, is coming to set up his kingdom here on earth. We need to get ready. We have no time to waste. The signs of the time are all around us. We must have urgency in this. So we talked about today that we were created to glorify God. When we get focused on secondary things, we are not doing what He has called us to do. When we do things in a way that brings honor to God, we can glorify God in even menial daily tasks. We can't glorify God. Let me just give you an example. We can glorify God by eating, but we don't glorify God in gluttony. We can glorify God in drinking, but we don't glorify God in getting drunk and drinking alcohol, right? We can glorify God in our sleep, getting the rest that we need for our day ahead of us. But we cannot glorify God by staying up watching TV late at night or getting on Facebook late at night and not getting the sleep that we need, waking up the next day grumpy because you guys get what I'm talking about, right? So anything that we do, when we do it in the right way, according to the principles of God's word, we honor and glorify God. So Christian, do you love God? Has God saved you? Has God made you a new creation? If not, come to Him today. But if He has saved you, glorify God. Serve your King endlessly. God is worthy of all praise. He is worthy of our best. Let's give Him everything that we have. Let's seek to glorify Him in even the meaningless tasks of our day, realizing that He is present, that He sees everything, even the secret things. And let's bring honor and glory to Him with our lives, because that's what He created us to do. Amen? Amen. Let's end in a word of prayer. Should we stand, Pastor? Okay, please stand. We'll close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for this opportunity to preach Your word to one of these faithful churches. God bless this church. Lord, I pray for anyone here that does not know You, that they would come to know You, Your love and Your grace and Your mercy and the wonderful salvation that transforms us from people that hated God and loved sin to people who now love You, love God, and hate their sin. God, I pray that You would help us, help us to remember that we were created to glorify You. Help us to glorify You endlessly. Glorify You excellently, in a way that You are worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.